I mean, we could wait until the last couple of seconds come off the clock, but why
would we? We're good. I think we're good.
Yeah, this one, as I said at halftime, we probably could have done it then. My God. Project Game Day post-game show. Glenn Clark, the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard, back for season two.
Back.
Happy to be back. Happy to have something much more pleasant to talk about this time around.
Yes.
Way different than last time you and I did this, Rita. Very, very
different. You mean the way that it ended last
time? Yes, the last time you and I did this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I dropped a couple bombs.
Oh, it got real, real.
Yeah.
It got real. That was, of course, the Bengals game.
Yes, 4th and 12. Shout out to them, unfortunately.
New Year's Eve. Oh, my. I was supposed to go to, like, two parties afterwards.
When?
New Year's Eve.
Oh, and you
I was
not
like, remember, we went on for, like, an hour.
It was an hour
really,
show.
It was a really long show. I was just spent emotionally.
Yep.
The game kicked off late, right? Yes. Because all the games kicked off at 4.
Yeah, remember, they moved it to 4 o'clock because of the, you know, being a intensity of the playoffs.
I ended up going I was supposed to go to two other parties, and then I just ended up going to my friend's house where we always go for midnight. We go to the same spend midnight with the same friends we have for years.
Right.
And when I got there, I started turning over bottles of champagne.
Oh, fun.
Like, I mean, literally just, I'm going to pour another. I started playing beer pong with champagne because I just wanted to get drunk as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
By the way, my life was in a different place in general.
Yes, it was.
And it's improved from there. But like.
Yeah, because you're skinny Glenn now.
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys know that.
Thank you, Reed.
Glenn is skinny Glenn.
But this is a much different feeling that I have doing this show with you today.
Yes.
Than it was the last time we did the Project Game Day post-game show.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's all brought to you by Glory Days. Catch all the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where we have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $5.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays. Drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today and try something new from our seasonal menu, Glory Days Grill. Great food, good sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, KZ's like, you are early. Yeah, we are, but again.
KZ,
what do you want me to do?
The damn game is over, okay? 47-3. What do you want us to do?
Oh, man, I love you. I love you. This is 47-3. There's nothing to be worked up about, but she's going to find a way. She's
going to
find a way. And thank you, KZ, for helping her get fired up. All right. So, yeah, what do we bitch about today? Nothing, frankly. Nothing.
No.
We can nitpick if we want to, and we will, because we're doing
That's
a show,
what we do.
And so we have to.
Yes.
We'll nitpick a few things. But in general, let's just tell the truth. This is as, you know, some people bring up the Dolphins game from a year ago. And look, they play great on that Thursday night.
Yes.
They look tremendous, but I don't know what it is. I think this is an even more complete performance than that game was. This is as complete a performance as I can remember from a Baltimore Ravens team. And again, credit John Harbaugh and credit Steve Tasker for asking about it at halftime. But the fact that John Harbaugh said at the half to Steve Tasker, look, I wasn't planning on benching guys, but like, we got to turn around and play on Thursday night.
Yep.
It is not in a football coach's DNA, I don't care what the score is, to put his guys on the bench 5 minutes into the second half.
Yes.
That is absurdly early. That is crazy early for a football team to go to their bench like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's also a unique thing where maybe John Harbaugh's thinking, well, I like the idea of getting Lamar Jackson a little bit more time.
Yes, I thought that too.
I wonder if it had been Ryan Mallett, if he would have done the same thing. But the inherent value of doing it, as much as you can say it's for Lamar Jackson, that's fine. In a way, there's something, I'm sure, to be gained for Lamar Jackson by being out there. To me, that's an incredible thing to be able to do when you're entering this brutally difficult situation on Thursday night of not only having to go on the road, but having to play against A.J. Green without Jimmy Smith.
Yes.
I mean, this is, you're entering a hornet's nest on Thursday night, and the willingness in a blood to say, shutout be damned, you know, whatever else we might accomplish in the second half, be damned. The most valuable thing we can do is not overexert our guys in this football game, knowing we have to turn around and play again in 4 days on the road. There's a lot of things we beat up John Harbaugh for, but I think he deserves a great deal of credit because that is so not in the DNA of football coaches to bag out that early in a football game.
I agree. I do think that he did the smart play here of putting his starters aside, because let's be honest here. The game was out of hand very early on. The Ravens dominated very early on. And so the score, it told you, it gave you an idea that the game was over at halftime.
Yes.
And so as we see, not only did the Ravens start putting in their backups, but Buffalo then brought in Josh Allen right. in the second half to play. And so
now, in fairness, he's the better quarterback, we think,
of the
theirs.
Two.
Yeah, of the
theirs.
Two.
Yeah, that's and yes. And yes, but he didn't start the game. I'm
right.
just bringing up the point that he didn't start.
What you're
so
saying.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. He looked better when he played. But I think that the consensus was, like you said, Thursday night is coming. It's 4 days away. This game is literally out of hand. I mean, they're not going to come back. Let's
correct.
Just go ahead and sit these guys. And I do agree that the other factor of it is, well, I want to get my first round draft pick some reps in. They obviously been doing that the entire game, trying to get them in.
We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, so
we'll talk more about
but now you don't have to put trick plays in to get them in, because the game is so far out of reach that he can just go in and get some regular reps.
And you
in.
Believe it to be a valuable experience.
Yes.
And clearly what the Ravens have said with their decision to make RG3 inactive, and it's a bigger ball of wax that we can discuss.
Yeah.
But what they're saying by that is, if there's a situation this season where Joe Flacco gets hurt, Lamar Jackson's going to have to be the guy to play. So
yeah.
you would prefer him to have some game, real game experience.
I agree.
And I get it. But what he ended up going into was essentially the glorified preseason, but it's still the glorified preseason. The opponents that he was facing on the field today were better than
yes.
the ones he would face in the preseason. It's better than what he did for 5 weeks in the preseason to get out there today. And so my God, knock on every piece of wood that I can find, especially if he's going to play like he played today, if Joe Flacco were to get hurt, the idea that you would have given Lamar Jackson an extensive look in a better game situation would help, since he's clearly the guy that you're saying is going to be the guy to go in if Joe Flacco gets hurt later on during the course of the season. So again,
knock on wood.
Of course. Are
we going to talk about how good Joe played today? I noticed a lot on Twitter. People did not want to give him the props, but they did, because you had to. And I had to remind people, I know y'all think he's horrible. He's the worst quarterback in the world. But, you know, he does have good games. He does.
So you know, it's funny. I'm going to run this into something that Alex just said to
okay.
us. Alex just got in and said, hey, guys, being at the game today, we need to talk about these wide receivers. Granted, Buffalo clearly stinks, but it's been a while since I've seen so many receivers consistently beat their defenders and get open. Flacco had a great game, too. Funny how that works. We've been missing that for a few years.
Yes.
Couple of things to discuss about that, because I think that I want to unpack that sort of layer by layer, Rita. First of all, you're right. Joe Flacco was incredible.
He played a very good game today.
He was incredible. The funny thing about it being, in the early stages of the game, I was actually a little bit concerned, because the offensive line was giving him so much time, but yet there were a lot of plays where he wasn't throwing it downfield, and there was a part of me where like, dude, are we doing the same thing all over again?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the same problem we've seen the last couple years where guys just can't get open? And that's been the problem that we've talked about, is you can say, hey, even when the offensive line did kind of play well the last couple years, they were still struggling, because we would go back and look at these plays and say, who the F is he supposed to throw the ball to? He has no faith that any of these guys that are covered are actually going to catch it, because they don't catch easy passes. The notion they're going to win a contested ball is insane, and none of them are getting any separation.
Yep.
Now, I was starting to get worried kind of in the early going of this game, where I was like, man, you know, he's getting a lot of time, but yet we're still seeing it go underneath or just to the tight end in the middle a lot, and I'm starting to wonder. Well, that obviously improved a little bit, and clearly he was able to spread the ball around to all the receivers.
Yep.
And yeah, these two things, this is not a I told you so, because I have no idea how this is going to play out for the rest of the year, Rita.
Correct.
I can't tell you if it's going to look like this week in and week out. I still have questions about the receivers, and I'm sure plenty of people still have questions about Joe. He played one of the best games of his life today, right? And yes, the Bills, undoubtedly, Alex, the Bills kind of stink, no question.
But, let's not do that.
Oh, and by the way, you're right. I actually think their defense is pretty good.
They continue to play well into the second half as well.
Right.
They didn't give up defensively. But I do believe that we're going to make this about how bad the Bills are, and that is unfair to the offense of the Ravens, because, you know, they have done their work in terms of trying to build chemistry and trying to get things going, and I do see a difference. I noticed a couple of times where Joe gets out of the pocket and he's making a play. Well, now you have receivers that are going along with the quarterback and trying to get open.
Yes.
If the play is busted, and he's trying to, you know, scramble to try to give somebody time, they're finding ways to get open. We're not used to that.
Second and 26?
Yes, that was second and 26 was one of them. What was it? I think there was one in the first quarter as well I don't think it was that they were all supposed to go that way. He just so happens, I think he was getting pressure from his left, so he moves. Mm-hmm. And he throws, I believe it was four first down to Willie Snead. Don't quote me on that, but I remember that specific play, and then the second and 26. So now you're in a position where you have better guys in position that when the play does break down, when the offensive line maybe isn't blocking where they should and you need to buy some time, you got guys downfield that are giving you the time.
Because I think Joe also looks much more comfortable. Absolutely. Related to the injury.
Yes, absolutely. He looks healthy.
Correct. He looked way more comfortable getting out of the pocket and extending plays than he did a year ago, which is what happens when you're not dealing with the injuries that Joe Flacco has dealt with.
And now, it's also when you have better players.
No freaking doubt about it. And this is, and when I say this, God, this is very difficult. Because this conversation, I feel like I can't say without it coming off as a knock on Lamar Jackson. It's not at all. These are two separate thoughts, and I need that to be very clear, Rita.
Okay.
I'm worried that what we're going to find out as the season goes on is exactly what I thought at the time, which is the Ravens were better off using the picks they had to try to give more talent on this football team to play immediately and to wait and draft a quarterback when they definitely knew they needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I said that then, which is, look, I know Joe Flacco hasn't played well, but he's on the hook for a lot of money. And you can say everything you want about your ability to get out from underneath the contract at the end of the year. One, you hope you don't have to. Second of all, even if you do, it's still going to cost you a great deal of dead money against your cap.
Yep.
Significant amounts of dead money, even if you want to do play the game or so we can spread it out over 2 years. That's $8 million.
That could be going to someone else or another player.
Correct. That's dead immediately. That's counting towards somebody that's not helping you win football games if you do this. So maybe the best case scenario is you surround him with as much talent as you possibly can, get the best pass catchers available in the draft this year, as well as all of the free agents that you did, and get out there. And we still hope that Hayden Hurst is going to show up in 4 weeks or in 3 weeks, whatever it is, and look like the best tight end that was available in the draft and that they did something well. That's obviously there's still some hope there. But my worry, my concern is that you would have been better off just taking a receiver in the second round of this year's draft and maybe using your second round pick next year to get another football player that could help you win, and then drafting a quarterback when you actually needed a quarterback down the road. That's my concern.
Right.
We're a ways away from that, and I this is not me knocking Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I think Lamar Jackson
could
be great.
Yeah,
but
I get it.
But as far as a football team is concerned, that was my concern then. It remains my concern now. And so far, again, one game, really one half, I think what we're looking at and seeing is, this guy might really still be capable of being pretty good if only you had put anything around him. And that's the tricky part, Rita. Whenever we've had this conversation about Joe Flacco, everybody's like to say, well, you know, other quarterbacks have made some receivers. But no one has been asked to win with what Joe Flacco was asked to win with. None. Zero. No other good quarterback in football was given garbage like Joe Flacco was given. And weird, he's healthy, the O-line plays well, the receivers are at least competent. Again, I'm not trying to oversell what these guys are, but they at least look to be competent so far. And weird, Joe Flacco looks like a pretty good quarterback today.
Yeah, I have this conversation all the time. You and I'm sure we had these conversations until we're blue in the face. But Pro Football Focus did some analytics on wide receivers core from 2017, and lo and behold, the Ravens had the worst wide receivers core in 2017. Now, if analytics isn't your thing, that's fine, but these guys,
you saw them.
They work. Yeah, you saw them live.
Right.
So if you don't believe them, I don't know. I would love for you to tell me who had a worse wide receiving core. So it's documented that.
I mean, the Bills didn't have a good one. I'll give them that. Right?
No, but they also went out and traded for Kelvin Benjamin, which was a former first round draft pick. So it's not like they weren't at least trying.
Well, in fairness, the Ravens had a former first round draft pick last year.
Okay. Okay, well, where is he now? He might be a giant down the street, okay?
No doubt.
My thing is that, yes, that didn't pan out, but the Bills at least made an effort to upgrade their wide receiving core by trading for a former first-round draft pick.
Correct.
And so that is what we've been saying. And I'm not disagreeing with you at all regard that. I think it's pretty well documented that I love Lamar Jackson, that I am very happy that he's here. That being said, I agree with you in the sense that – it's not far-fetched to want to think that the Ravens could have done something else with that pick, potentially got a wide receiver like a James Washington or a Gallup or some of those other right. guys that we were very high on, and instead of getting Jaleel Scott and Jordan Lasley.
Neither one of them whom was – one of them's on IR, the other's inactive.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the guys that I potentially – I particularly don't think will have a major impact on his team, at least not this year. But – it's good to see. It was today was different because we talked about this earlier on the show, on a fantasy reality show. We believed, and KZ said this. KZ said that he had the Ravens 20-0, and he believed that the Ravens had to come out dominant in order for us to be sold on what they're doing. The Bills are a very bad football team. We knew who was going to be the starting quarterback when we came into this game, and we know what his resume says, okay? He had 5 interceptions in 1 half in the first game he started. So the
and
Ravens,
to his credit, didn't do that today.
He did not.
Progress, right?
That's progress. No, he had 1 interception.
One.
All right, so the thing is that you knew that they were very limited. The offensive line is bad. The run game is essentially all they have, and you have to capitalize off of all these limitations. The Ravens did that, and not only did they do that, they dominated in that. Had it been a much closer game, it would have been a problem for me because it would have taken the mask off, and it would have revealed that they still have issues and that this team could potentially be another 8-8, maybe 7-9 team. Today proved to me that at the very least, the competition that is inferior to them, they are able to just take over the football game and dominate them immediately. And that's what you want to see. You want to see good teams beat really bad teams really bad.
Yeah, I hear you. And I don't disagree with anything you say about that. Look, what I would follow that up with is I'm still not sold, right?
Like, no. I'm just saying that what I said on the show today was that I'm not going to say they're going to the playoffs if they win this game, but I am going to be concerned about what happens with this season if this game is close or if they lose this game.
Right.
So I'm not taking anything from it in terms of, oh, they're going all the way. But what I am saying is I'm noticing what they're doing and what they're doing what they're supposed to do. And that's what you want your team to do. Do what they're supposed to do. If they would have done anything less than today, that would have been a problem for me. It would have been a concern.
Right. And there will be plenty of people that will overreact in a good way.
Yeah.
They'll overreact and they will legitimately believe now that the Ravens are the best team. And I know that the game.
I mean, they want to know. Go ahead and.
Right, correct. I'm not telling you not to be excited.
Have your parade down Utah Street if you like.
I'm not saying don't be excited about it. Right. Be excited about it, for God's sakes. Now, I just have to be more realistic, which is, okay, let's see. You know, like, get back to
Agreed.
Me in 3 weeks.
Yes.
At the quarter poll, we always talk about the quarter poll as being the first time to really fairly judge a team. It's one game. They had an entire offseason to prepare for it. Now, let's see what happens at the turnaround and play in a short week on Thursday night in Cincinnati. And if they come out and look really good in that game, well, that's something. Now
yep.
you're really talking. If they somehow, in a couple of weeks, without Jimmy Smith on the field, and we'll see what ends up happening with Le'Veon Bell, but if in a couple of weeks when they face Pittsburgh, they're able to handle that, you know, responsibility.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown doesn't cook them for 250 yards like he did the last time he didn't have to face Jimmy Smith, well, then let's talk again then. You know what I mean? Like, let's have those conversations then. For now, they handled themselves. They looked really, really good. This
yes.
is one of the best games they've ever played
yep.
as a franchise.
Very complete on all sides.
Correct. You know, there was the fumble, the muff punt from Janarian Grant's going to be troubling
yes.
because that's the only reason why he's on the roster. And as good as he looked in the one return, you do that and you can't have a job.
Yep.
He will probably get a pass for it because of the weather conditions. Like, they probably won't cut him on Monday, but it's going to be one of those things where they walk in and say, dude, you know, you're maybe one more of those away from not
yep.
having a job, from Tim White suddenly being elevated from the practice squad and getting his crack at it. So there'll be that. Alex Collins fumbling in the first half, not good. You don't want that. And you saw they were reluctant to go back to Alex Collins much after that. And we saw a little bit more of Buck Allen.
Might be in the doghouse.
That's the way it works with John Harbaugh.
Exactly.
Look, that's just the way it works. Now, again, I think Alex Collins will get another opportunity.
Absolutely.
I think he'll still be the guy moving forward. But I actually like Buck Allen. And I don't think it's the end of the world that we see a little bit more of Buck Allen.
I agree.
I think he's a more complete
yes,
player.
Yes, he can do more things. He can catch passes, obviously. And then he's a good runner. So he's a little bit more complete than Alex Collins. But like you said, maybe he gives them the pass because of the weather conditions. But let's not act like those two, Grant and Collins, have been known to have fumble issues in the past. So
no, right. That's a good point.
So it's something that you look at, but you try to give these guys the benefit of the doubt.
And again, the weather, you know, obviously sucked today. It was brutal conditions to be playing in. You had a punter drop a football today too. So.
And it didn't obviously take anything away from the game. It was out of reach very early on.
Right.
So
they were fine. Exactly. As it turns out. By the way, yes, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, we know, are in overtime right now, and we will.
Yes.
I understand why it is that the WJZ is sticking with their postgame coverage.
I'm so annoyed right now.
There's a lot of people in town. Like, I know that they get money for this, so they kind of have to do what they got to do. But like, there's a lot of people in town that ain't thrilled about the fact that
I'd love to see what's going
stick
on.
Stick that. Yeah. Oh, I guess it's 4:30 now, so they couldn't carry it anyway.
No, but I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm with you. We can talk to PressBox about getting the package here somehow, some way. All right, so that's that. I tell you what, let's do this, because we need to take a 30-second break. We're going to do that, and then when we come back in, you and I are going to talk more about the gadget play stuff.
Okay.
I talked about it at the half, and it's going to be an element of conversation. I have a pretty distinct opinion about it, but let's you and I discuss it further. It is the Project Game Day postgame show. We need 30 seconds to tell you about the U.S. Army, then we're going to come back in, and we're going to talk about gadget plays.
Respect. It's more than a word. In the U.S. Army Reserve, it is a core value, a value that brings together a variety of people from across the nation to answer the call to serve. Serving part-time in the U.S. Army Reserve means earning the respect of your community and your nation, all while pursuing your career and educational goals and staying close to home. And now, in addition to earning respect, you may qualify to earn up to $20,000 in bonuses when you join. To see if you qualify, visit goarmy.com/reserve or call 1-800-USA-ARMY, paid for by the U.S. Army.
All right, back in here on PressBox's Project Game Day postgame show, Glenn Clark and the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. All right, Rita, we saw plenty of it today. We knew, based going back to OTAs, the Ravens had been in the lab working up ideas for how to get Lamar Jackson on the field.
Yeah.
My reaction to it has always been wankingmotion.gif. That's always been my reaction to it.
GIF. Yeah, I still call it GIF.
That's
I don't
fine.
Care.
I don't. It's not pretty. Like, I don't care what anyone calls it.
Every time I hear GIF, I think of peanut butter.
And I don't blame you. By the way, I had a peanut butter smoothie yesterday.
Oh, I love them. Aren't they
great? Oh my God.
Aren't they great?
I don't think that. We'll
get back to football in a second.
Yeah.
But
whenever I eat something that somebody tries to tell me is healthy, because like I'm trying to do the healthy thing now, right? Like I had a what do they call it? An acai bowl or whatever.
Oh, I can't say
acai.
It's too fancy for me.
Whatever it is, it's delicious.
It's good. Yeah. And then they put the peanut butter with the coconut.
If somebody's like, "That's healthy." I'm like, I hope you're right.
Yeah, no, it's healthy.
How?
It's healthy.
How?
It's healthy.
My God.
It's healthy.
And that was the thing. I had that peanut butter smoothie over at the juice bar. They were like, yeah, it's healthy.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it ain't. Yep. This tastes like a...
Now, you know what? That might be what I have for dinner.
Yo, it's definitely what I'm going to be having for dinner tonight. All right, so I am not a fan. I'm not in favor. I'm opposed to it. I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb for a couple reasons. I'm going to present my cases to you, and then I'm going to let you respond.
Okay.
It's not just that they didn't work today, right? Like, that didn't surprise me. Of course they didn't work today. In what world do we think that bringing on a specific gadget player will work? Who has that worked for since Cordell Stewart? Now.
It helped Troy Smith.
Didn't work.
Did.
It didn't work.
When he threw that ball to Flacco. Don't forget that
one
Raiders
time,
game.
One time.
Okay,
right,
it worked.
One for one play, it worked. In general... It doesn't work. It's like the Browns lining up Johnny Manziel as a receiver and having him dart in off
as
the
a quarterback.
Side. Well, yeah, that's true. The point being, more often than not, what ends up happening is there's a little bit of confusion because you have somebody in a position where they're not used to that position. A lot of times it leads to penalties because somebody's trying to do too much to make a certain play particularly work because they're supposed to be home run plays. We make a whole lot about how, well, it's making defenses think and... No, it's really not. What you end up seeing is exactly what we saw as it went on, which was when Lamar Jackson was running around on a sweep, they didn't even pay attention to him because there was no real threat to it, and they just keyed in on who the ball carrier was. But none of it has ever worked for me that it's actually helpful. And the greater concern that I have about it, a lot of people bring up You know, if you're spending time with him doing that stuff in practice, that's less time than he can be working on just learning how to play the quarterback position. There might be something to that, right? Like, there might be, I don't know. That's not my reason for not doing it, but I'm willing to admit there may be, it's a greater than zero issue.
Okay.
The biggest issue I have is, first of all, why in the world did you keep Robert Griffin III?
Yeah, if he's going to be inactive and he's going to be the number three guy, right. It makes no sense to me.
And a step beyond that is, if you're going to be doing this stuff with Lamar Jackson, which, again, I'm not in favor of, shouldn't you be aware of the fact that, like, he's going to get hit?
Yeah.
And you might want to think about having another quarterback active
just in case
on Sunday.
I agree.
Because of that. So it's not just that I don't like it. It's that I don't like it and their decision-making doesn't appear to make any sense as they're doing it, Rita. I'm wholly opposed to all of it.
Yeah.
I don't think Lamar Jackson is your best receiver. I think you should just let a receiver play wide receiver. I don't think he's your best running back. I think you should let a running back play running back. If you thought he was your best quarterback, I think then you should line him up at quarterback. But if you think Joe Flacco is better, and by all means, the guy that showed up today was sure as hell better, there's no question about that, then he should be your quarterback. So if that's the case, Lamar Jackson, to me, shouldn't be on the football field.
At all. Yeah, unless he's playing in the second half of a game or if Joe is
obviously
playing.
Obviously, in these circumstances.
I don't disagree with you. I'm okay with it that it was like a game like this against the Bills where you really didn't they didn't have a standing chance. But I'm also glad that it happened because it showed them that maybe these plays aren't as effective as we thought that they would be when we ran these in practice. And now maybe they'll scale back on doing so in the future. I'm hoping that today was a learning lesson for them that potentially this is something that they need to kind of shy away from, and because it was too much. I felt like it was too much of them trying to force it down our throats in the first half. I mean, one or two times, okay.
Like, almost in a way where it felt like they were trying to justify the pick, right?
Yes. In a lot of ways.
See, told you it was worth spending a first-round pick on
it. And in a lot of ways, it does feel that way. It does. And I do think that at some point, we'll have an opportunity to learn whether or not the pick was a good pick or a bad pick. But I don't think you should force it on us with these stupid gadget plays that aren't, as of now, they're not effective.
No.
It may not be effective. I agree with you in the aspect that if you put your second quarterback, who is the only other quarterback that you have, in a situation like this, and then you have a third guy that you don't have active, well, that's not really smart on your part, because if the second guy gets hurt on the play and then somehow that first guy gets hurt on the play, now you have to bring in Sam Cook to play quarterback for the rest of the game because the third guy that you kept.
You tell me you don't want to do that? You tell me you don't think that would be a lot of fun?
You know, because the third guy that you kept is inactive.
You can't come on.
Doesn't make a ton of sense. So I don't know what the Ravens are doing here.
I heard somebody say today, or maybe one of the Ravens writers tweeted out, like, that the strategy is, well, you can, for one game, Lamar Jackson, if Joe Flacco gets hurt, you can get through one game. But you're keeping RG3 on the roster because if Joe Flacco gets hurt, then you would let RG3 play for three games. And, like, I've heard, like, that, to me, that's just dumb.
No, they basically don't want, what the deal is that obviously they don't want to get rid of RG3. They don't want to just let him walk because he obviously was going to go somewhere else right away.
Somebody would have signed
him. Somebody would have signed him immediately.
They were hoping that somebody would trade for
him. Exactly.
And they didn't
get it.
Right. And so now it's a case of, well, let's see. And in a way, again, depending on what your choices were, if you really think that none of the players that you cut were worth keeping on the roster, if none of them were going to be capable of helping you anyway, if it was going to be another dude, it was going to be inactive that you didn't think anything of, that's like, I have no idea how you could feel about Nico Siragusa since he's never taken an NFL field in his life. But, like, if you're so convinced that Nico Siragusa could not possibly help you, so you're just going to cut him, nobody was screaming about Rashad Perriman. We've all gotten our answer on that one. That's fine. But, like, some of these guys, Albert McClellan, I think, has proven that he's capable of helping you. And I'm still convinced that you're going to see Albert McClellan back in a Ravens uniform. They just didn't want to have him on the week one roster because your contract's
guaranteed
if you're on the week one roster. And so they want to get him back at a cheaper price. And I think they'll be able to do it. But, like, any of these guys, I am just not sold on the notion that you needed to have Robert Griffin III around. It did feel way more as though you're just trying to play a lottery ticket. We think that maybe this week the Bills will hate the idea of playing Nathan Peterman again so much that they'll dump a fifth round pick on us to get RG3, and I just don't know that that's coming.
I think
you're trying to overinflate what a guy did in the preseason. That's all well and good, like I get it, but I think that we all gotten our answer. If we're still clinging to the idea that other teams value the preseason, you're not paying attention.
What is the same team, the Bills, that had a guy that they traded to the Oakland Raiders and AJ McCarron, and
right.
So that
yeah,
that they for whatever reason. They like the Peter Man, okay? I don't know.
Isn't it come off as like the quintessential guy that coaches just fall in love with for no reason whatsoever?
That's exactly what's happened, but we don't see it.
Like, he's the guy his eyes are the brightest in meetings, so coaches just love him despite the fact that there's nothing that suggests that he's a football player.
Absolutely. So I have no idea what they like about him, but apparently they like him enough to, you know, bring a guy in and then later trade him on. And so I don't really know why the Ravens felt to keep a guy like RG3 on. Like I said, other than I really feel like they thought that they can get some value from it and still believe that there's possible value for him on the trade market. But it doesn't make sense to have him inactive and yet make your second string quarterback a part of your game plan.
Yeah,
it feels very dangerous.
Yeah, if you're going to have Griffin on the roster, just make him active so you have a backup plan.
Would be smart.
Or don't use Lamar Jackson in gadget plays.
I like that one better.
Yeah.
I like that idea better.
Let Lamar Jackson be a quarterback.
Yes.
Have him as prepared as he possibly can be so that if something were to happen to Joe Flacco, not only do you feel comfortable putting him in that game, but you feel comfortable in having him play for 2 or 3 weeks.
I agree.
If necessary at that point.
I agree.
Do everything you can to make Lamar Jackson the best quarterback he can possibly be for that situation. Hope that it never, you know, ends up working. Hope that Joe Flacco plays just like this.
Right.
Every week for the rest of the season, and it's never a problem. Hope that he can make that throw like he made to Michael Crabtree at the end of the first half, and Michael Crabtree can make that catch forever, and we can all dream about what that looks like in the playoffs this year. Hopefully that plays out.
Please,
but
please,
if for
please,
some
please.
Reason it doesn't, have Lamar Jackson in the best possible position that he could be in to be your quarterback under those circumstances. That's what I would do with him.
I completely agree.
I'm trying to make sure there was nothing else that jumped out at me that I wanted to. I wrote a few things down during the course of the game. And, I mean, like, the defense was great again.
Well, the defense played very well.
And that to me is the trickier part of.
How many sacks did they have today? I lost count. I know it's at least six.
It was, yeah. I mean, I'll go back and double check with the final number. It was absurd.
Now,
again, that's another tricky one where it's like.
Yeah, because of the competition. I realize that.
And the nature of how the game went.
Yes.
Like, at some point, they were just sort of able to tee off because
yep.
they weren't really all that concerned. They would live with giving up a big play. If in going to tee off on the quarterback, they end up giving a big play, whatever. We're up by five touchdowns.
Yep.
Who cares if we give up a big play? We're going to go try to tee off on the quarterback. So some of that. You know, you do have to sort of sit back and admit, you know, it's probably the nature of opponent and game plan.
Yeah.
But they did end up with 6.
Okay.
6 sacks for the game. With Tavon Young having 2 of them, which is
okay.
It kind of tells you
how the game, like you said, how the game went today, which was out of control for the Bills, but in control for the Ravens.
Thank you to Chris, who asked me if I was doing man of the match because I didn't get to do it much during Orioles season this year. Look, Joe Flacco's the man of the match. You know what I mean?
Who else would it have been?
What do you want to say?
Who else would it have been?
There's a lot of guys that had good games today. Joe Flacco was nearly flawless.
Yeah.
And
I'm curious to know, like, at the end of the day, because, you know, now, because of the 1 o'clock games being over, now they have the quarterback ratings for the day. I don't know. I'd assume.
Who had the best?
I'd assume at the moment he'd probably be somewhere at the top of the list. I mean,
I can't imagine many people having a better day.
Yeah, he had a very, very good game today. And I don't think the numbers, I don't know what the numbers are, but I don't think it really dictates to how well he played.
Well, if you want to say he only threw for 236 yards, right? Like,
fine.
You know what I mean?
Fine.
Like, he was 25 of 34. He had his reads. His progressions looked great. There were none of those, like.
He escaped. He definitely freestyled a few times that I thought he was going to get sacked and found his way out of them and made positive plays from them. And it wasn't necessarily just, you know, dumping it off either. So that's something that we are not really used to seeing with Joe.
No.
We're used to seeing him dump it off. But I really appreciated him today extending plays and continuing to look down the field and trying to find guys that were striking down the field. And so that was fun because, like you said, we haven't seen this really in a good while. We haven't had a good core of guys who are in sync with the quarterback and are good players with the quarterback and since 2014, if we We could go back to 2014,
yeah, 2014,
maybe. So that was fun. It was fun to see. It was fun to see him just kind of be in sync with everything. He looked in command. It looked really good. And yes, I know it was the Bills. I know everyone's going to talk about how bad the Bills are, but we have to give credit to the Ravens and how good they prepared and how well they looked and how when they had to make a play, they went out and made the play. And that's important.
I agree. It's a both things can be true. It can both be that the Ravens played tremendously today and
that the Bills aren't very good.
It doesn't have to be that one disqualifies the other.
I agree.
It can be both things. To me, I could disqualify a lot about what happened to the Ravens a year ago because they didn't play real quarterbacks, right? Like, and again, you can make
absolutely
the argument today they didn't play a real quarterback. Well, the fact that they didn't play a real quarterback doesn't change the fact that the offense looked good.
I agree.
The offense looked really good today. And again, would I like them to run the ball better? Absolutely. I'd like them to run the ball better.
And maybe they will, you know, but for whatever reason, their game plan today was to air it out. And I'm fine with that.
Despite the weather.
Yep.
From the beginning of the game. It was funny because I was driving around and I had listened to the start of the radio broadcast today. And Dennis Pitta was talking about how it was going to be a terrible day for the receivers, but if he was a lineman or a running back, he'd be excited about today's game. And I was like, huh. Typically, I would agree with you, Dennis Pitta, but that's just not the way that things went today.
Not at all.
Today was very different than what you would have expected given the weather conditions.
It was successful.
And almost perfect.
Yep.
Almost perfect for the Baltimore Ravens in demolishing the Bills today. All right. I don't remember if there was anything else that I felt like I needed to cover, so I'll just leave it alone from there. If you got something in that I didn't get to, I will apologize to you. We got a long season. We got
to
turn around.
I was getting ready to say, just take this win, be happy about the dominating performance, and just roll with it.
Yeah, it was nice to see. Justin Tucker did have a couple misses in the preseason. I don't think they were really long kicks that he missed in the preseason, but it was nice to see Justin Tucker look like Justin Tucker again.
I never had any doubt.
No. I never had any real concern that Justin Tucker missing a couple of bombs in the preseason was going to lead to that lingering into the regular season. I thought that he would be just fine, and I have no doubt that he'll be just fine.
I think he'll be fine.
There's that. All right, well, short turnaround. You and I got to do this again on Thursday night. It'll be a late night for us.
Fun.
Thursday night football is what it is.
I know.
And as much as I complain about it, trust me, when we get to Thursday nights when it's not the Ravens, I'm really happy that I have football again on Thursday nights because it's something to watch, something to do. It's the whole thing.
But it's so bad.
It has a tendency to be bad, yes. Although you can't really blame the Eagles, like Falcons game.
I'm not blaming that because that's the first game.
And so that should have been better than it was.
It should have.
That should have been. That wasn't short rest. That was just bad.
It was bad.
Hopefully it's not quite that bad for these teams.
Divisional matchup obviously is always it should be fun because I do think that, you know, outside this, people consider the Steelers one of the elites of the AFC, and then with the upgrades with the Browns and then the Ravens and the Bengals, I think it's potentially a fight for second place. What?
Oh wow.
What happened?
Chris Boswell missed a kick in the last 2 minutes in overtime. And so the Browns got it back with a minute and a half to play.
Oh, are they going to get their first win?
They open those fridges
and
out in the beer fridges
that's
in Cleveland.
Right.
Because
they're in Cleveland, aren't they?
Yep.
Oh, that would be... you know
how
what?
That?
I'm rooting for Cleveland. I mean, I was going to do it. I'm rooting for Cleveland anyway just because... it's the Steelers that they're playing.
It looks like they're. Yeah.
It's not going to work.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, well, I mean, but I'd still like for it to happen because I want
it's
those fourth, fans to get that
down,
beer.
Yeah, I hear you, but they got a point. Aww. So it looks like the Steelers.
So we're going to have a tie for week one.
I think the Steelers still have a minute left to try to go down and do something. Oh, ties suck. This is why I didn't understand going to 10 minutes of overtime. Like, you can tell me all you want about.
I agree.
Like, you're going to create more ties, and that's not good. Nobody wants ties.
Nope.
That's a bad thing.
But in this
football.
Case, and because it's an AFC North opponent, I'm completely
okay.
Because then that means the Ravens will
right.
be first.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let's go with that.
All right.
Let's go
Fair
with
enough.
It.
Fair enough. All right. At the NFL Chick on Twitter is how you follow Rita. And every Sunday morning, of course, you hear her with KZ and KO on the Fantasy and Reality Football Show. I will be back with you tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, for Glenn Clark Radio, glennclarkradio.com. Thanks again to Glory Days for making this happen. Oh, everybody wants to talk about James Conner's hair. I didn't even see it.
Okay, that's a mess. He had the business in the front, party in the back. It's not a mullet because I don't know what kind of haircut he had in the front. He had like a couple slits up here, and then he had the hair, the shag in the back, and it's a hot-ass mess. Go get your damn haircut, okay? It's a few barbers in this area. If you want, my brother is a barber. I can shoot D-style, D3 styles. I can shoot them up to Pittsburgh and have them take care of you.
I love that. I love that so much. I love that.
You see it? Oh, are you looking at it?
It's brutal. It's brutal.
It's awful. Brutal. Please.
All right. Quickly from Paul, the naive fan of me says RG3 is around because they see him as the perfect backup to Lamar, maybe next season. I didn't want to lose him to another team. I know I'm probably way off on that. I don't know if you're way off on that or not. To me, you're way too far down the road.
Yeah, I think people think that potentially this is Joe's last season, and I want to tell you guys.
Well, if he's going to play like this, he sure is hell not going to be.
Well, he's under contract till 2022, I believe, the end of 2021.
Yep, mm-hmm.
It's a very good chance he's here for 2 more years, maybe the whole contract. So don't get your hopes up too much about that.
Well,
okay?
Look, if he had come out and he looked like garbage this year and they had benched him, I have no doubt they would try to move on from him. But if he's going to play well, why are you in a rush to move on from a guy who's playing good football?
And you have a guy that you did draft in Lamar that has a fifth-year option if you want to keep him, you know, so he can stay around a little bit longer. So the Ravens are in a very good position here with the quarterback situation, because if they choose to let Joe play out his contract, he can do so. If Lamar gets that fifth-year option, he can do so. If the Ravens want to keep Joe, let's say, for instance, Joe plays well and he's playing well for the next few years, and then they say, well, we want to re-sign you. Now they have the option to trade Lamar Jackson to someone potentially.
Right.
So I just want people to get this out of their mind.
You hope that it becomes
this
a good problem.
This last year, because it's a very good chance it's not his last year, unless he really poops the pot really bad.
If it's going to be this guy.
If it's the guy you saw today, he ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
He's not going nowhere.
And Andrew Stecca, that's a good line, Andrew. He says, even if they finish in a tie, it'll be Hugh Jackson's second best result.
Well, did he lie? Where's the lie?
No. No. He's not lying at all.
Where's the lie?
He did win one game 2 years ago, I guess.
He did?
So, yes, he's got one win. It'd be his second best result.
So he's right.
As a coach.
He's
My
right.
God. All right, thanks to Glory Days Grill for making this happen. Catch all the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where they have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $5.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays, and drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today and try something new from our seasonal menu, Glory Days Grill. Great food, good sports. Rita, let's do it again Thursday night.
Let me get you some Glory Days nachos on Thursdays, $5.99.
I kind of would love that. although I'm not supposed to be eating that type of stuff.
I forgot skin. Skinny Glenn is eating healthy now, y'all.
Maybe just one. We'll see you Thursday night. It's been Project Game Day, the post game show. Have a great rest of your weekend.